blessing is certain. If you stick to the word, you will come back with a testimony. What God wants to give you in your life is not a healing. What God wants to give you in your life is not a job. What God wants to give you in your life is not money. What God wants to give you is the word of God in your spirit. It'll make you what it talks about. And you are shining. And you are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining and nothing can stop you. It is your season. It is your time. Nothing can hinder you. This is your time. This is your hour. Favor is yours.
This is a continuation of the message, The Lordship of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If Jesus is God, why is he called the Son of God? Thank you, Lord Jesus. First, do you know what it is for someone to be called God? Let's start from there. Do you know the meaning of the word God, G-O-D? Come on now, talk to me. You are here. Don't act like you're not here. You are here. I can see you. What is God? Who is God? What is God? When you say God, what are you referring to? What are those things that should characterize such deity to be called God? All right, let me give you a few things. All right? Number one, he must be the creator of all things. That's number one. Now remember, we're not talking about a God. We're talking about the God. Definite article. If he is God, meaning the God, certain things must qualify him so to be. Number one, he must be the creator of all things. Now, in that case, he will not be called the God of thunder, or the God of iron, or the God of rain, and so on and so forth. He has to be the God of everything. So he must be the creator of all things. Now, have we read that about him? Number two, he must be omnipotent. That means all powerful. In other words, he should have the ability to do all things and anything. Omnipotent. He should have all power. All power. Huh. What did Jesus say? All power in heaven and in earth is given unto me. He didn't say some, he said all. Number three, he must be omniscient, meaning all knowing. He should know all things and everything at the same time. He shouldn't wait for any information. If he is God, he must be omniscient. Hallelujah. Are you still there? He ought to be. He should know all things. He should be the embodiment of all knowledge and all wisdom. Number four, he must be omnipresent. Meaning, he should have the ability to be everywhere at the same time. He doesn't come and go. You understand that? He should be everywhere at the same time. If he is God, he must be omnipresent. They must be able to find him anywhere, anytime. They must be able to call on him anytime, anywhere. He must be able to respond anytime, anywhere, the same way if he desires to. Number five, he must be a master communicator. In other words, he should be able to communicate with everyone, everything, anytime, anyway. Are you still there? We're talking about God. Who is God? All right, he's got to have all of these abilities. Now, something else. Why is Jesus called the Son of God? And I said, first let's find out who is God. When you say God, we're not talking about he's the son of a God. He is the Son of God. So who is God? And we've tried to look at a few things, which some qualities that this God must possess. Remember, we said he must be the creator. And then that means, of course, that he must be the life giver. All right? He must be the origin. You can make that the sixth one. He must be the origin of life. Meaning that he himself should be called life. All right now? So why is Jesus called the Son of God? Very simple. You've got to understand this. It's so important. See, some people don't understand these things, and that's the reason why they are confused. But why don't I also misunderstand it? How can I believe that Jesus is God and I also believe he's the Son of God? I call him the Son of God like you do. And yet I believe he is God. How could I believe those two things? And a conflict of opinions? No. A contradiction? Not at all. When you study the Bible, there's no contradiction at all. Now here it is. You begin from Genesis to understand all great truths take their root in the book of Genesis. All kingdom revelations have their root in the book of Genesis. Now in Genesis, when you study from chapter 1, he tells us in the beginning, from verse 1, in the beginning, Elohim created the heaven and the earth. And Elohim is Hebrew word for God, plural for God. In other words, if you were to read it literally in the Hebrew, it would say, Elohim, the gods created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning, the gods created the heaven and the earth. So Elohim is plural for God. But then the Hebrew always reminds people. He says, the Lord, he says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Letting them know that even though we use the term Elohim, we are not dealing with a plurality of personalities, but one God. Because they couldn't understand. How could God be plural? Gods, and yet he's one. But truly, there was a plurality of personality, which will be revealed later. Are you saying this? This is what God was giving them. And so they were not confused. So they said, in the beginning, the gods created the heaven and the earth. That's the reason in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, you hear, and God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. So who was us? Who was he talking to? So you can now understand why he uses the word Elohim in verse 1. The gods created the heaven and the earth. So in verse 26, he says, let us make man. So who is he referring to? Is it Jesus? No. That's what many Pentecostals believe. And many charismatics. Jesus wasn't there, and the Bible doesn't say Jesus was there. He says, so who's Jesus then? That's what I'm trying to tell you, so just listen. Are you still here? How many of you are following what I'm saying? You're understanding, you're coming. All right, great, great. So, he tells us in verse 2, Genesis chapter 1, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. In verse 3, he says, and God said, that's the first time we find him speaking. God said. Now, in verse 2, we have a revelation of someone. He says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. That is the Spirit. So you write that down, the Spirit of God. All right? We'll talk about who is that. It's the Spirit of God. You write that down. Now, he moves to verse 3 and says, and God said, let there be lights. And there was light. So already we know something. The Spirit of God was on earth. Papa God was not there. The earth was without form and void. Why was it created without form and void? Emphatically, no. It wasn't. Hallelujah.
It's time for your miracle.
There are many people who have had demonic attacks in their lives. Now, when we share with you the Word of God, and you act your faith, we teach you how to put it to work for yourself. Do you understand? We teach you how to put it to work for yourself. Never let the enemy control your life. Say amen. Never let the enemy control your life. I see a lady in a dream. Somebody put something into your mouth and you swallowed it. When you woke up, you felt like you wanted to throw it out. And you've been trying to throw it out ever since. And it never came out. And from time to time, you feel that discomfort from within you. And when you remember it, you want to throw up. In spite of the fact that you've thrown up several times, it didn't come out. Wherever you are, find your way to the front. Find your way. I want that lady to find her way to the front. I want to help you take that thing out of your life tonight.
Pastor, you just gave a word concerning someone
yep.
that swallowed something in a dream and has been trying to throw. I've got these ladies here
yep.
for the same case.
Come.
Pastor, there are some here too.
Okay, y'all come. It's the same devil. Just stand there. Stand there. Oh, the more. Just go behind the ladies here. Stand there. Mm-hmm. definitely you don't want that evil spirit inside you, okay? You don't. Put your hand on your stomach like this. In the mighty name of Jesus. The rest of you, stretch your hands this way. Stretch your hands toward them. In the mighty name of Jesus. Something is happening already. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thou devil of darkness, right now, get out of there now! Out! Out! Out!
This is a continuation of the message, The Lordship of Jesus.
Hallelujah. When you read your Bible in Jeremiah chapter 4 and read from verse 24 down, he tells us about the judgment on the earth. And then you discover why God said, let us make man in our image. He didn't say, let us make something in our image and call him man. He said, let us make man, meaning there was a man before. He said, let us make man in our image. Meaning, man was not before then in the image of God. Are you still there? Are you sure you're still there? All right. So you talk about man who was created or who existed millions of years ago. That story is true. That man lived millions of years ago. Oh, yes. They said he had a tail. Oh, yes. They said he had a long jaw. Oh, yes. They said he looked beastly and ugly. Oh, yes. That was man in that form. But after the destruction of the world, when it was covered with water and darkness, in verse 2, the Bible says the Spirit of God moved upon it, upon the earth. Man had been judged. The whole world had been destroyed. That man was not made in the image of God. That's the one that science has discovered some of his bones. Why? Because, you see, the account of creation in the book of Genesis is not the account of original creation. It is the account of a recreation. Are you still here? Now, what I'm preaching to you now, I already preached it in a series of teachings in 1990. So some of you ought to have the tapes. I gave you this in a series of teachings in 1990. That's how many years ago? What? 14 years ago. All right. So I'm not telling you something that's new. It's been there all the time. 14 years ago, you had the tapes. Of course, most of you were not here then. You are freshmen. Hallelujah. See, when you understand the Bible, you don't have problems with science. You don't have problems with, you know, the discoveries and so on and so forth. It's people who are ignorant. Some are even trying to support God and they say, no. Man is only 6,000 years old. No, man in the image of God is almost 6,000 years old. But not man in his original creation. And the earth is more than 6,000 years old. So the account in Genesis is an account of recreation, not of creation. You say, how do you know? It's all in the Bible. All right, number one. You notice when God said, let there be light, and then he separated the light from the darkness and so on and so forth, and then the various birds and animals, you know, the mammals, the reptiles and so on, they lived into being. Then he said something in the 28th verse of chapter 1. Talking about man, after he had made man in his image and in his likeness. He says, God gave them dominion. And God said, replenish the earth. Now that's a key word right there. You don't replenish something that was not there before. As far as God said replenish the earth, God meant that the earth was in good shape before and became bad. And now he's given man the responsibility to set it in order again. So it proves that that creation was a recreation. And man was now given his part of the job to replenish the earth. That means recultivate it. Begin to put it in order again. Set the whole thing straight. That's what God told him. That's why he used the word replenish the earth. Hallelujah. Are you still there? All right. Now. In verse 3, chapter 1, Genesis, I said, God said. In verse 26, he said, let us. Already we found someone in verse 2. He's called the Spirit of God. And he was moving upon the face of the waters. And then God said. And when you study later in the Bible, you find that it was the Spirit of God that caused this creation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, who is the Spirit of God? Because until you understand the Spirit of God, you cannot understand Jesus. Who is the Spirit of God? I've told you. I know that I've told you. Who is the Spirit? Dun 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 dun. Bible says to make melody in your heart to the Lord. That's exactly what I'm doing. See, the word of God, you practice the word of God. Do you understand? You don't just read it. He says, make melody in your heart to the Lord. So what do you do? See, when you're cool, when you're happy, when you're full of joy, when you're full of the Spirit, that'll happen. But when your life is roasted, I mean, you're in bad shape. You can't sing songs. Hallelujah. But you ought to know this. Don't live according to life's experiences. Live above them. And before long, you will dominate them. Hallelujah. Are you still here? All right. I said, who is the Spirit of God? Who is he? When we say Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, we're talking about the same thing, all right? It's the same thing. We're referring to the same person. Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. King James calls him Holy Ghost. Newer versions say Holy Spirit. That is the Spirit of God. But who is he? Jesus defined him. St. John's Gospel, chapter number 15. This Holy Spirit, this precious, wonderful Holy Spirit of God. Do you love him? Let me tell you about him. Hallelujah, 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 glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Lord. From chapter 15 in John's Gospel, I'm reading to you from verse 26. All right, verse 26, are you ready? But when the Comforter, the Greek used the word parakleton. That means one called to go together with you. Called to go together with you. In other words, he's walking alongside. He's going together with you. He says, when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth. Have you noticed that now? What is he called? One more time. Thank you, Holy Ghost. So mercy, thank you, Holy Ghost. But when a comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth. Now, the word truth is referring to reality. So you say, the Spirit of reality. Oh, thank you, Lord. So he says, but when the comforter, now, you remember what Jesus said, I'll pray the Father and he shall send you another comforter. All right, you remember that? What was he talking about? He says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not. The Greek called him Allos Parakletos. What does that mean? When Jesus said, another comforter. He says, Allos Parakletos. Allos is Greek for another. And then Parakletos. One called to go with you. Together with you. Why did Jesus use Allos? Because he ought to have said Heteros Parakletos. Meaning another one. It would be another. So they used two words for another. One was heteron or allon. Or you say allos or heteros. Heteros parakletos. Meaning another comforter. Now comforter was one of the several Greek synonyms. Praise God. Hallelujah.
We trust that you are blessed by the message you just listened to. We invite you to make Jesus the Lord of your life by saying this prayer. O Lord God, I believe with all my heart in Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. I believe he died for me and God raised him from the dead. I believe he's alive today. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life from this day. Through him and in his name, I have eternal life. I am born again. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I am now a child of God. Hallelujah.
Wow, this message has been brought to you by Christ Embassy Caribbean Broadcast Network, Tortola, British Virgin Island. For inquiries or to share your testimony, kindly call us at 128-434-0346 or email us at info@loveworldradionetworks.org. God bless you.